Welcome to the Construction Disruption Podcast, where we uncover the future of design, building, and remodeling.
I'm Ryan Bell of Isaiah Industries, a manufacturer of specialty metal roofing and other building materials. And today, my co-host is Ethan Young. Ethan, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good, Ryan. Finishing up on a Friday here. We recorded an episode earlier today, so this will be episode two for our season two here of Construction Disruption, but looking forward to it. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I have a pretty serious question for you to kick things off on this episode. I was looking through some of the older episodes we recorded, and I forgot about the nice beard you used to have.
Yeah,
what are the chances that that's coming back sometime soon?
Pretty low. Growing it out, but it takes such a long time. It's a commitment, but...
Sorry, I had to ask. I forgot about it completely. Well, let's get started. Something we kind of joke around about here a little bit as a roofing manufacturer is that homeowners will often pay for extra things inside their homes and buildings, things that they can touch and feel. But oftentimes, they just want to get by with the roof and choose something basic rather than something special. Well, today, we're going to dig into the inside of the buildings that we live and work in and visit. Why do those interiors have such meaning and emotion and value to us? To help us along that way, we're pleased to have Blima Arantroy as our spotlighted guest. Blima is the founder, CEO, and principal interior designer of the Designers Group. With offices in New York, Toronto, and Miami, the Designers Group is truly setting a new standard in interior design. Blima, welcome to Construction Disruption. It's a pleasure to have you as our guest today.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Well, we love it when our guests tell us their own stories, so we're going to ask you to do that. What created your interest in design and brought you to where you are today with your own firm?
Back when I was in high school, my parents moved us across the street from my childhood home, and we had the opportunity to watch the entire home get rebuilt. So starting from demolition to laying the foundation, watching walls go up, and really seeing the floor plans come to life was what really sparked my interest in construction and interior design. And I remember that my mom had worked with an interior designer. And that was something that really fascinated me, seeing how choosing a color from a fan deck really was executed in the entire room being that color. So it was that experience that really put me in the direction of wanting to pursue a career in the construction and interior design industries.
Let's talk about the connection between people and the interior of buildings. We mentioned earlier how this seems to be something people can be very emotional about. Can you reflect on that a bit, on the connection between people and the interior of buildings where they live, work, eat, play, all those things?
As a designer, I always talk about how people in spaces and in environments don't even fully realize the impact of what's around them. And I believe that where we really add value is giving people that experience where the space really talks to them and really helps them get to wherever they're supposed to be within that space. So for example, when we're talking about a rehabilitation facility, we want that environment to promote getting better, getting healthier, wanting to get better. So those are all aspects that we consider when we're designing how to appeal to the psychological aspect of a person through the design elements to promote those activities. Now, today, for example, we actually were exhibiting at a school expo, and we were talking to different vendors and different people in the industry about how important it is for children to be in an environment in school that really promotes healthy thinking, that enables them to be productive, that allows their educational journey to be where it should be. And as designers, we believe that the environments of schools and really anywhere that children are have such an impact on that experience and on promoting a good childhood and a good educational journey. So there definitely is that synergy between the space and between the people within it.
I like what you said there at the beginning, kind of about how maybe we're just not aware of it. There's a book called The Design of Everyday Things. Have you ever read that or seen it?
No, but I will put it on my reading list for sure.
I've only read about half of it, and then I kind of put it down, but it was good from what I remember. And it's just about how everything around us is designed and ultimately has an impact on our lives, whether we know it or not. Most of it is unnoticed.
For sure. And I say it's not even just the way a space looks, but it's also the way you feel within the space. And for example, what comes to mind is, you know, when we're working on a hospitality space with a food component, then if people can't hear each other talk, or if they can't see the food they're eating, that all impacts the way they're experiencing the space. So it's not just what you see. It's also making sure that all five senses are engaged and that we're making sure that they can be engaged in the right way.
I was going to say, this made me think of like color theory and the way, you know, people respond differently to different colors, especially in like a, you know, design situation like this. Or I think you were dead on with that. We don't even realize how many little things add up to, you know, whether it's like the lighting or whatever it is that just affects how we feel in a room or in a building. So I definitely think it has a major effect on us more than we realize.
For sure. And as designers, we have the ability to direct how things will work in a space, but we want to make sure that all five senses will be engaged and that people don't even think about it. We don't want it to be something that you really have to notice. It should be natural.
So what sort of experience does the designers group give to its clients, compared to maybe perhaps the experience they might expect in working with an interior designer? Is there something special or unique about your interaction with them?
We're all about the impact that our designs will have on the spaces that we work on. So we really come in from a holistic perspective where we want everything to work together. And like I spoke about before, engaging all five senses, making sure, even from a branding perspective, that before people even step into the space, there is that same experience, whether they're looking at the social media, whether they're looking at a website, or whatever it may be. But we're very much into the branding and the mission and vision of a company, of a particular space, whatever it is. And what comes to mind when we're talking about this is, over COVID, we were working on a string of urgent cares. And we actually got involved in the branding of the urgent care brand. It was a new company. And we worked on what color direction they would go with their logo and how to implement and incorporate those elements into not only the space, but the prescription pads and the doctor's uniforms and any of their social media, so that when people were looking up this medical practice, it would all feel familiar to them even before stepping into the door. And once they were there, that experience would just all come together. And not just that, but we did approach the design of the space from a hospitality perspective, where when you get a facial or a massage, that's a luxury experience. And when you're getting stitches or a strep culture, that's an anxiety-ridden experience. And I remember the grand opening of the first location. And I heard someone saying to another person, "Hey, I feel like I'm in a spa." And I literally walked over to him and said, "Did someone tell you to say that?" Because this was our mission. And that's what's so important as designers, is that the vision of whatever the space may be is executed from the initial concept all the way to completion. So we say this, whether it's a multifamily property where people want a community, or it's a medical facility or a school or an event space or a restaurant, the same principles can be applied throughout.
So you work on a lot of different types of buildings, obviously. Do you approach when you're getting started on the project, or do you kind of have the same approach to them, or do you tackle each one kind of based on what it is? And
we do have the same approach in terms of our process. There's that initial onboarding meeting where we discuss what the client is trying to achieve. And then there is no one size fits all approach. So sometimes people call us up and they're like, oh, how much do you charge for so-and-so? And we say to them, it's not like something you could walk into a store and just buy. So there isn't a set price. We have to look at what kind of space it is, how the space will be utilized, what square footage we're talking about. There's so much that goes into even coming up with the pricing for an interior design project. And then once we get into the specifics of that project, it's really about doing the research, understanding what we're trying to achieve with the space. So for example, an office, when we look at an office project, we're not just looking at the employees and the staff, which that's definitely a key part. We want people to be happy and fulfilled and productive in a space that they work in. But we also want that if prospective clients are walking in, the mission of the company is there and people can actually appreciate what kind of office they're walking into. So we're always looking at any space from so many different angles and making sure that the design that we come up with will address all of that.
Can you tell us a bit about a project that you've been involved with in recent years where you found that your firm ended up with a very different result from what others may have ended up with?
I believe that my team is incredibly talented in every project that we approach. We're innovative, we look at it differently, and we come up with unique solutions. But I will say a project that we're currently working on now is a special needs center. And it's for adults with disabilities. And we are so grateful for that opportunity because we're learning so much from it. We're not specifically, we don't have specific experience in this space. We've worked on a lot of schools. We've worked on medical facilities. And we've worked on a lot of components of what the center will address. For example, there's a pool there. They have a dental office for special needs patients. They have therapy spaces. They have dayhab, rehab areas, gyms. So all of that we have experience, but we were working on the autistic unit and none of the walls can have sharp points because this could be dangerous for them. So all the walls have padding. There's curved edges to any corners. And that was something so interesting for me because in every space that we work on, we learn so much. So not even necessarily that the outcome was different than another design firm, but for us, it's so interesting to be in all these different industries and being able to apply what we're learning from one industry into another. Obviously, we have experts and designers with experience who are part of the team. But for me, as the CEO, I get to learn parts of all the different industries, and it's so interesting and it's so amazing all the solutions that we're able to come up with because of that.
So I think you often talk about designing with purpose, and maybe this leads well right into this question, but what does that mean to you and what impact does it have on your final product?
My team and I are always approaching a project from the perspective of how can we improve people's lives, make their quality of life better? How can we help them accomplish their goals and what they're setting out to do within the space? And our motto really is designing with purpose, creating a better world. And we believe that the environments that people are in, because they have such an impact on the way they interact within the space and what they can accomplish in the space, that we believe that we're really making the world a better place. And we use that as the platform for our firm being involved in so many nonprofits and charitable initiatives, because it really is all about making the world a better place. And I know I speak for myself as well as my team that we feel so lucky and so fortunate that our career has that kind of impact. And that's why we take it a step further as well to really try to empower future designers with mentoring and the ability to come to our office and experience design, as well as the TDG Furniture Exchange, where we help people who need furniture, match them with people who have furniture to give away. So that's a sustainable approach, as well as a way of giving everyone a beautiful home and a place to call their own that they're so happy with. Everything that we're doing kind of stems from that same principle of we want to make the world a better place.
Very cool. So you talked about, designing with purpose and making the world a better place. Do you think that every job that the designers group does, you think there's sort of like a signature touch to it? Is there, some kind of common thread that people would notice when they walk in one of your buildings?
That's a good question, because we're a very diverse team. We have designers from all over the world, from many different cultures, different religions, different educational backgrounds, besides their design degree. Everyone has gone to design school. But we see that everyone's shared and unique experiences are what gives the design its innovative approach. However, there is that unique thread that we always make sure that, for example, the lobbies of our projects are very welcoming or branded, but they look very different. But there is some sort of universal thread that you can see, because like I said, we're very detail oriented and we're very process driven. So we do have the same approach to all our projects, but it is a customized solution. So there's never a copy paste. And we're always coming up with new ideas. I travel a lot, and that's one of the ways that I stay inspired. And I'm always looking at the way different people live and the way different spaces work. Like, for example, I went on a cruise a couple of years ago, and I was just looking at all the materials and how they put the spaces together, because it has to be super durable. And there's that turnover of however many thousands of new people coming in every week. We're working on a lot of senior living facilities, and we need to make sure that those spaces are very durable, because there's the heavy machinery going up and down the corridors there, as well as the wheelchairs and the walkers. So it's really looking at the way different spaces work and the way different countries with their different climates function, and using those principles within the spaces that we design.
Just kind of learning lessons along the way and applying them where you see fit.
Yeah, so never a boring day for us. We're always learning.
So a big topic right now is AI. How do you see AI impacting design now and maybe 5-10 years down the road?
With any technology, it's always really hard to predict how fast things will move. But I definitely think that there is so much opportunity with AI. And as a firm, we're definitely leveraging AI where we can to simplify our processes. However, that being said, I do believe that because our spaces are so unique and they're all about the emotional and psychological impact that our designs can have, that it's not going to replace a designer or the human touch, but it definitely can help simplify those processes and make things easier. And also, when it comes to the inspiration phase, when people sometimes get stuck, there's so much inspo now that can be had by using AI and leveraging its capabilities. We're definitely a fan of staying ahead of technology, incorporating it and implementing it where we can. And we see so much opportunity and potential with AI.
I'm a graphic designer most of the time, but I certainly...
You had me fooled. I thought roofing.
Well, I do graphic design for roofing products, our marketing materials and websites. But I've loved the introduction of AI into that process and how quickly I can sometimes get over that creative block. And Ethan's background is in writing. He's our content writer. I don't know how much you've played around with, the writing side of it too, but that's a struggle for me, always coming up with kind of the words. So I welcome the AI, and I agree. I think it really is just another tool for us to use that can help us be more efficient and work better and potentially even come up with, you know, different ideas and solutions that we normally wouldn't. So I look forward. It scares me a little bit how fast it's moving, though. That's the only thing that scares me about it.
Yeah, but even with the writing, I've experimented with ChatGPT. I find that there's that back and forth. And I find it to be the same with design. Ryan, maybe you can talk to the graphic side of it, but it's very hard to get it to where we need it to be at this point. I do believe we will be able to, but right now we definitely have that back and forth of refining it and refining it some more, which is why I believe that we'll always need the human touch.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think there's just too many, like, whatever the situation is, especially with writing, but with a lot of different things too, design too, there's just too many idiosyncrasies with humanity. Like, we just have these little, like, you know, moments in our life or stories we remember or references or anything like that, that I'm sure AI will be able to learn a lot of that stuff, but it's never going to be able to totally replace that, at least for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of people in their efforts. So,
yeah, at this point, I thought we would have robots running the world already. So, that's been taking some
time.
Where's
the flying cars at? Yeah. That's what I want.
That too.
Okay. Next question here. Are there any particular design trends or perhaps even some new products that you're excited about and kind of anxious to see where they could go?
So speaking to technology, we've really been experimenting with VR tours, which is building out the spaces in 3D, and people can actually experience those spaces using our VR headsets. Like I said earlier, we were at an expo this morning and we brought a couple of our headsets along with us, and people were able to experience a recent school that we designed. They were able to feel like they were walking through the space and really understand what our design vision is. And we found it to be such a powerful tool, getting clients on board, getting donors on board, getting the consultants that we're working with to visualize what we have in mind. And what we've really found how it's been the most helpful is to people without any kind of design background, because they have a much harder time reading plans and understanding what our vision is. But when we're able to present it in this kind of way, where it's a fully immersive experience before the design is executed, before there has even been a shovel in the ground, there's just that much more of an understanding what our vision is, and we're able to get people on board much more quickly.
That's really neat. And I do see so much potential there with the AR and VR side of things. It's really exciting to watch that and see where it's going to go. I think that's some pretty cool stuff there. I'm going to kind of trampoline back to when we were talking about inspiration. As an interior designer, where do you find your inspiration normally?
I like to find inspiration wherever I am and wherever I go. So there's no specific time or place that I'll be looking for inspo. But like I said, I love to travel. I find that there's so much in nature that's so inspiring. I mean, God is the ultimate artist. So when you look at earthquakes or volcanoes or a sunset and a sunrise, I mean, there's so much that I see every time there's something like that. And just really being present wherever I am and learning from the people, the places, the things around me.
Do you ever get overwhelmed or feel like inspiration could be overwhelming?
Whenever anything really feels overwhelming, I always like to break it down. So if I'm in a space or in a place that's overstimulating, always try to not let myself get overstimulated and try to break it down. So typically it's not a problem for me. Do you find that you get overstimulated or overwhelmed in spaces?
I don't know that I've ever really thought about it, to be honest. Maybe like Chuck E. Cheese or something like that.
I see where your head's
at. I don't think there's any space. Yeah. I don't know that I can think of any space other than noise and, you know, that I would find overstimulating.
I do believe that good design, everything works well together, and there isn't that one overwhelming, overstimulating detail. Great design is when everything works well together. And there could be that feature for sure, but not that there's screaming aspects. That's how we like to look at it, design, when it all organically and holistically works together.
Yeah, more of a nice flowing breeze instead of a, you know, tornado whipping you all over the place, I guess.
A good thoughtful approach so that it works that way.
So what sort of culture do you try to foster at the designers group? You know, is there a certain culture that you kind of focus on and try to build that you feel really kind of supports your work and goals as a company?
We're all about collaboration and working together because we really believe that that's how you get the best result. And when everyone's voice is heard and everyone plays a part in what we're doing, you can't compare it to one person working on something or having two people. We believe that is exponentially more powerful. And we've really seen that when people work well together and everyone is about helping each other out, like we have monthly goals and quarterly goals. And if people don't reach them because they're collaborating on another project, that's okay. Because we understand that where they're collaborating is where we'll get a better result. So we really foster that kind of environment. And it's been incredible to see the progression of the designers on our team from when they start to where they all are today. It's an incredibly inspiring and collaborative environment, and everyone really wants to support each other.
I have to ask, this made me think, since you guys design your buildings, what is your office space like? Is it also like, you talked a lot about collaboration and stuff. Does that facilitate that for you?
Very good question. So the design of our offices are really based on where they are and the space that we found. For example, our offices in Brooklyn is kind of a loft space where we have these gigantic windows and a ton of natural light. And the building is actually a converted warehouse. So we were the designers on, you know, figuring out how to make the space really rentable and give as many different areas for amenities and for the client to really up the value of the building. And our previous lease was up, and so we need a new space. And this office has incredible sunlight, and for us that's key, and high ceilings. But as I was saying, there are exposed ducts, and we decided to take advantage of that. So our space is really that kind of industrial vibe. Whereas another office space is much more clean, neutral colors. So it really depends on the area, where it is, and the space that we have, but really leveraging the space and the positive attributes of that space and working with it.
That was a good question, Ethan. So now I have to ask, as a designer, and it's a little different because I'm designing things that are on a screen or paper and can easily be changed. I always struggle with, one, knowing when something's done or being okay with it being done. But then if I look back at it, you know, even a week or a month later, I want to change it. Do you have that? Does that, like, obviously there's money involved with you updating your office constantly, but is that something you have to deal with as a designer? Like, oh, there's a new trend or something, or I wish we would have done it this way. Is that something that ever crosses your mind?
So that's interesting that you're asking that, because I was on a call yesterday and the client was asking about our timelines and how quickly we can deliver. And I said something like, when we work on a design, it's not that it's done after one try. There's one try, and then we refine it, and then we refine it again, and then again, till we get the final product. by the time we have something that we're happy with it and we don't want to change it anymore. So I hear what you're saying when something new comes out. But I always find that after working on a space for a long time, I get very used to it. And then if I will come visit it after however long, I'm like, oh, wow, this space is incredible. But after working on it every day for, let's say, a couple of years, I notice everything that didn't go right. And that's what I see. But taking a step back and visiting it a couple of years later, I'm always blown away by how amazing it looks and how well people are responding to it.
That makes sense. Makes sense. So looking in, assuming you have a crystal ball and you can look into it, what does interior design look like in 20 years from now?
There are so many exciting opportunities that we're exploring, and there's so much innovation out there, especially when you're looking at the digital world, the virtual world. I believe that's going to be very big, and just we're all about the built environment. But we are exploring the virtual world and how we can have an impact there. It was interesting because I was flying from Miami to New York yesterday, and in the airport, in the lounge, I saw a guy sitting with a headset and a keyboard. I've never seen that before. When we're giving people the opportunity to tour our spaces in VR, we have the hands, I can't even remember what they're called, but the
like
pieces,
the controllers, yeah.
The controllers, exactly. But here he seemed to be in some sort of office environment, writing out documents using the new Apple headset. And it was interesting for me to see. I was going to take a picture of it because I thought it was interesting. And then I realized he can't see that I'm taking the picture, and I probably shouldn't do that. But I was thinking, like, hey, this is what lounges are going to look like in the future. Everyone in their own world, but sitting together. Which is such an interesting concept. And I do believe that as designers, we will be able to help bring people together in that space. And that's what we're all about, whether it's the amenities that we're designing or the different community centers and buildings. It's about really bringing people together and creating this better world for all of us together. So I'm excited to see where all of this takes us, but definitely 20 years from now, things will be looking very different than they are today.
So I was on a meeting with a guy a couple of weeks ago, right after the Apple Vision Pros came out, and he had gotten them, and he looked like a ghost on the Zoom call. And I said, Ken, you look like a ghost. Like, what camera are you using? Because he was kind of like transparent. He's like, oh, I just got the Vision Pros and I'm trying them out. I don't have a camera or a computer. They are creating my face, basically, and creating an avatar. And it looked like him, just kind of ghostly. I don't know how to explain it a better way. It didn't really work very well. And that was kind of his feedback, was this technology is cool. There's potential here. It's not there yet.
Yeah, but with construction in general, there's so many limitations when it comes to site conditions and budget. But in a virtual world, there's really none of that. So when you talk about overstimulating in a space, that's definitely something that could happen. Right now, you're saying that this person was see-through or you could barely see him. But I could see a future where everyone's going to be a lot more than they really are in person.
Be interesting. It's going to be an interesting next couple of years, I think.
For sure.
What advice would you have for any younger folks that are thinking about getting into a career in design? Any advice on kind of how they should go about pursuing that?
I always say that the best way to pursue any career is really to go to school and get the correct foundation for it. So if it's school or if it's learning from someone, if there's no specific schooling, but there's the educational aspect, but then the actual experience aspect. And when it comes to design, people can get very afraid because a mistake can cost you, whether in money or in safety issues, have to be redone. So I always say, never be afraid. Always believe in what you can do as a designer, believe in your creative skills and your passion. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. But when you do make those mistakes, make sure to learn from them because it's so important. And I always go back to this story. When I was starting out as a designer, we were working on a residential home and we were very excited. The delivery for the living room furniture was coming and the sofa arrived. We obviously had measured, made sure that everything will fit. And they couldn't get the sofa through the front door.
Oh,
we did not
no.
think of yeah. checking that. They tried going through the basement. It just would not fit through. So we had to send it back. We obviously took care of the restocking fee. So again, also very important, take responsibility for your mistakes because at the end of the day, people are hiring you for your expertise. And now, so we basically, they replaced the sofa with one that could, you know, come apart. And they were able to get it through the front door. But now, years later, we're working on an event space where we're doing these floor-to-ceiling partitions. And these are 18 feet high partitions. And right away, the first question that I asked the lead designer is, how are we getting these partitions into the space? Because the elevators are not going to fit those partitions. So it's about learning from that mistake and making sure that that will never happen again. And that's really how I think that you learn, either watching someone else, having a mentor, making mistakes, which are not always fun, but don't be afraid to try. Take responsibility for those mistakes, but always make sure to learn from them.
I think mistakes are the best way to learn. And it's really hard, especially as a parent sometimes, to watch kids fail. And just let them fail knowing that they need to learn, but absolutely. Are there any influencers that these younger folks should be maybe following and paying attention to? Any that kind of stand out to you as a good potential mentor?
I'm not so big on social media. I find that when I go down that rabbit hole, I get nothing done, nothing productive anyway. So I don't really have that many off the top of my head, but I would say everyone connects to different people. And if there's someone that you like their style or you like their approach, then definitely try to follow them so you can learn from them.
Good advice. Social media can be a dangerous environment. Lesson of the day.
Not exactly what I said, but yes.
Well, thank you so much, Blima. This has been great. Great time together. We're close to wrapping up what we call the business end of things. Is there anything that we haven't covered today that you would like to share with our audience?
I think you guys did great. Can't think of anything that you missed.
All right. Well, before we close out, I have to ask if you'd like to participate in our rapid fire questions. These are our 7 questions that we will ask. Some are a little serious. Some are a little silly. All you have to do is give a quick response to each question. Would you like to play?
All right, let's do it.
All right, Ethan, you want to go and ask the first question?
Yeah, I can kick us off. All right, if you had to pick one person to go with you when you're trying to survive a zombie apocalypse, who would that one person be? Anyone in the world?
Elon Musk.
Yeah, we get that one a lot. A lot of people think, you know, he's got all those finances, the resources, he can keep them alive, so.
I believe it's the way his brain works. But again, it might not even be him. It might be the people that he has in his orbit. But he definitely has come up with a lot of innovative ideas of how to do things. So,
question number 2, what's your preferred seat on an airplane?
All the way in the front. First class if possible.
All right. Question 3. This is always an interesting one. What would you most like to be remembered for?
The impact that my designs, as well as my leadership, has had on the people that I work and interact with.
Gotcha. Very admirable. Yeah.
All right. Question number 4. What's something that amazes you?
So many things, but I would say the impact that design has on the people in those spaces. I really, every time I see it, the transformative power of a space that we're in, I'm consistently amazed.
All right, question 5. Now, I really like this one too. If you were a wrestler, what would your entrance song be? Like, what would the song be playing when you walk out to the ring?
I think I would just go with classical music, just keep everyone's expectations low because I probably will be losing that match.
That's what
you've already lost it in your mind.
Yeah.
Got to believe in yourself a little more.
Not when it comes to wrestling. In everything else, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
You got to know your strengths and your weaknesses.
True. Very true.
Oh, good point. Good point. Good point. All right. Next question. If you had to delete all but three apps from your phone, which ones would you keep?
The calling option, WhatsApp, for sure, and Safari.
Yeah, there you go. Pretty well-rounded. Keep you pretty well covered with those three, I think. Last one, question seven. What is the best advice you've ever gotten?
Follow your heart. That goes in your personal life as well as your career. If you put your heart and soul into whatever it is that you're pursuing, you'll have the best results. And I've really found that to be the case for me, for sure.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, good answers. We will put this in the show notes, but thank you again for your time here. How can anybody that wants to get in touch with you or have any questions for you, what's the best way for them to reach out?
So they can always just go to our website, thedesignersgroup.com, and our handle on all social media platforms is also The Designers Group.
Easy enough. We will put that in the show notes. Well, thank you again. This was a great episode. We need to recap our challenge words. I believe we were all successful, kind of all snuck them in there right about the middle of the episode. Blima, your word was?
Earthquake. I snuck in volcano just for good measure.
Yeah, that was a good little, yeah. Mine was tornado.
My challenge word was trampoline, so we were all successful in getting those in. Again, thank you so much, Blima, for your time here. We appreciate it. And just thank you for the insights you're willing to share with our audience.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I do not believe you guys are rusty at all. I'm curious to see you at the top of your game.
Well, thank you. Maybe we're just a little harder on ourselves than we need to be.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to staying in touch.
Thank you so much for tuning into this very special episode of Construction Disruption with Blima Aaron Troy of The Designers Group. Please watch for future episodes of our podcast. We are always blessed with great guests. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or YouTube. Till the next time we're together, keep on disrupting and challenging those in your world to better ways of doing things. And don't forget to have a positive impact on everyone you encounter. Make them smile and encourage them. Two simple yet powerful things we can all do to change the world. God bless and take care. This is Isaiah Industries signing off until the next episode of Construction Disruption.
This podcast is produced by Isaiah Industries, manufacturer of specialty metal roofing and other building products.